This is Matt Wells at UN News. Karelia in the Russian Federation is a land of lakes, rivers and forests whose culture inspired Lord of the Rings author J.R.R. Tolkien, the community proudly says. But it is at risk from climate change, big industry and a language that is in danger of dying out. In an interview with Daniel Johnson, Alexei Sikaryov from the Center for Support of Indigenous Peoples in Karelia maintains that indigenous languages and centuries-old practices need far greater protection. We'll begin by hearing some poetry from Alexei in his mother tongue.
Vaka vanha Väinämöinen, elelevi aikojansa, noilla Väinölän ahoilla, Kalevalan kankahilla. Laulelevi virsiänsä, laulelevi taitelevi.
Yeah, we see a lot of consequences of climate change. For example, the snow is melting earlier. And I remember that when I grew up in my childhood days, we had snow already in October. Now we have snow only in December, late December, sometimes even January. And it impacts the lakes, for example, the ice on the lakes and the fishing. It impacts forestry. It impacts indigenous people's hunting and many other ways of life which indigenous peoples exercise. So we see also more winds than we saw before because of the intensive forestry industry in Karelia. And of course, the impact of industries which operate in the area, for example, mining or paper industry, polluting the air, polluting the rivers. So this is a big concern for indigenous peoples.
How many Karelians are there then in this part of northwestern Russia? And how many other ethnic groups and indigenous groups are there in your part of the world?
In northwest Russia, we have quite many indigenous peoples. So, and we should understand that in Russia, we have two types of indigenous peoples, recognized as small-numbered indigenous peoples, which are peoples with the population less than 50,000, and bigger groups like mine, for example, Karelians. So in northwest, we have bigger groups as Karelians, Komis, and some others, and small numbered as Nenets, Sami, Vepsians, and also very, very small numbered as Izhorians, who are only 260 people, or Votians, they are only 83 people left.
Goodness me, so really much more needs to be done to raise awareness about the vulnerabilities of indigenous peoples. And I know that in your part of the world, the protection of your language is very important, and also the fact that there aren't enough Karelians being born. You've got a demographic gap that's really building up. How are you hoping to address those challenges?
So right now we are advocating for the proclamation of the International Decade on Indigenous Languages, because we feel that just one year, one International Year of Indigenous Languages, is not enough to accomplish our goals and the action plan which UNESCO has created in collaboration with indigenous peoples. And first of all, in my community, for example, we think that we need to rebuild confidence of indigenous peoples in their own languages, because many parents, for example, don't want their kids to even speak Karelian because they think it's not necessary, it's not pragmatically useful, and we should rebuild this mode to speak own language. And we have some good projects, community-based projects, how to do it, and we need more support from the international community, because as long as the international attention is in place to this issue, the Russian government, for example, and the Republican government, and even local governments pay even more attention to indigenous languages, seeing also good practices from other regions.
Maybe you could tell me about one interesting traditional practice that really is struggling at the moment, and that's reindeer breeding and herding practice of the Karelian people. Tell me a bit about its history and why it's important to the region and how it might be perhaps a chance for regrowth and rebirth for the Karelian people.
Yes, northern Karelians exercised reindeer herding in the past. Unfortunately, this is not the case anymore because of some consequences of the Second World War, evacuation of many Karelians in other regions, and when they came back to Karelia, so they settled in completely different places and they already lost the livestock of the reindeers. And of course, it would be great to revitalize this tradition because it goes deep to the roots of Karelians, to the cultural traditions, to the cultural identity and the code of these people. And it's connected very much with the traditional songs, for example, with the Kalevala epic poem, which is well known in the world and inspired even Tolkien to create his own The Ring, or how do you call it?
Lord of the Rings?
Talking
about J.R.R. Tolkien?
Yeah, he was inspired by the Kalevala epic poem, which is our Karelian biggest
Biggest hit.
And of course, I mean, reindeer herding, but also it's important, but also, of course, fishing. You cannot imagine Karelians without fish. Fish is the main dish for Karelians, and they have a lot of different traditions in terms of fish. For example, smelly fish dish.
Smelly fish dish.
Smelly fish, yes.
What is a smelly fish? Is that a type of fish?
Yeah, it's so Karelians, you know, take fish in springtime, so then they store it in the barrels, and they can open it only, for example, in August. It's a little bit smelly, but you can still eat it. It's very tasty. And some of the guests are afraid to eat it, but it's very tasty.
Alexei, I can't say you're selling it to me, but I'll come and check it out. Absolutely. If you invite me over to Karelia, I'll certainly taste it. Maybe just one final question. Just set the scene for me. You step out of your house in the morning. What is it that you see in Karelia? What is it that you think of in your mind's eye now? You're speaking to us in Geneva. What is it that you... What's the image that comes to mind?
Karelia is the land of lakes, rivers, and the forest. And that's what I see every single morning when I wake up. And I would like to preserve this for future generations, for my kids, for everybody who lives in Karelia or comes to Karelia as a tourist or as a guest. And of course, it is only possible to do with full cooperation with indigenous peoples who have been living in this area for centuries and who know the best how to preserve this treasure for themselves and for others.